We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Expect Casey to try to put a little something extra on the slider here.
Sun comes out from behind a cloud, and suddenly we have sunshine covering the infield. A 1-2 pitch to the plate.
Swing and a miss! He struck him out! He struck him out! He struck him out! Aggies are going to the College World Series!
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 5th, hump day, and we are here ready to rock and roll. Sorry about being absent for the last few weeks. We've been a little busy.
Yeah, there was no getting to this, unfortunately. It just couldn't work. Couldn't get the schedules online. Then I spent a long weekend in Vegas, so hence why we're here today, because I just got back yesterday.
And we are pumped to be back. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 14.
And I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015.
We have ourselves a very busy weekend in Aggie land coming up. But before we get into that, plenty that happened over the last few weeks, both personally between the two of us, as well as plenty of sport things. So figured we could probably dive into that. First and foremost, wanted to touch on the closing out of our season with softball. Trisha Ford and the crew, and just wanted to give them a lot of props for the fight that they put up.
Yeah, if you're not seeing the upside for this program, I don't know what you're watching. The seniors, the seniors that stayed and bought in, and you've got to love really the foundation that they've laid for this program to move forward. I think that she's shown, just like Schloss, she has no problem dipping in the transfer portal. Whatever it's going to take in the new landscape of college athletics, whatever it takes to make this team better next year, I have all the faith in the world that Trisha Ford will do it. You're going to miss the seniors. They were special. And to see the buy-in, you know, that's one of the toughest things you see when you have a coaching transition. You always feel like you're going to lose players no matter what coach is coming in, no matter what their pedigree. Yes, sometimes it's just about relationships. It's not just about, you know, wins and losses. And to the ones that stayed and gutted it out, I'm gutted for them, obviously. What a fun run in the postseason. Just kind of came up short against a buzzsaw that's in the finals now. And I think we knew that, you know, most of the season they were the number one team in the country. So it was the fact they took him to three games, and I know there's no moral victories, and I doubt any of the girls want to hear it. But I was so pleased with this season, and we talked about it all year long. And I think it really increased the size of the fan base, quite frankly.
No question. You know,
there hadn't been a ton to be excited about on the softball side of things for years. Mm-hmm. It's been 8 years, something like that.
Well, see, we made the tournament back in 2017 and made it all the way to Oklahoma City in 17. But even so,
7 years. Yeah,
I'm about to say, even so, there hasn't been a consistent level of success throughout this program. Basically, since we joined the SEC, like, we've always been a pretty middle of the road team, or even sub middle of the road.
Or even worse. What was it? The first year Davis Diamond was open, we hosted the SEC tournament and we didn't even make the field.
Right.
Yeah, That's tough.
It's been
tough sledding. So I think the excitement and energy that Trisha Ford has really injected into this program, along with the players, obviously. I mean, she can only do so much. She can get the players on the field, she can coach them, but they do have to execute. It was such a fun season to follow, honestly.
Oh, yes.
And heading into that final game, you got a shot. Yeah, you don't get a chance to get to Oklahoma City if you don't put yourself in the position to win the Super. And I thought they put a real jolt into Texas to let them know that this wasn't just going to be a rollover. So I love what I see out of her teams, just the way they're coached, their grit, the way they play. And I am really looking forward to next season already. I really am. I may or may not watch the Women's College World Series just because it's – two teams I really don't care about, but it also just goes to show you what softball is going to be next year. Now that you're injecting, you know, the two finalists already, it's we talked about that plenty. Softball is going to get plenty of boost from the additions to the SEC,
no doubt. And looking back at that series, you know, of course, NCAA tampering getting us in the position where all of a sudden we had to face Texas well ahead of when we probably should have. But even so, you go out there, you honestly give them the toughest series that they've probably seen all season. I mean, they win the series by a combined one run. So, I
Yeah.
mean, that tells you all you really need to know. It was a very competitive series of games, and I'm really, really proud of the way the girls held themselves in that situation. So, and not to mention, you did talk about the increase in the fan base, and yeah, they were averaging, I was like, for the first time, averaging over 1,000 fans a game, which is awesome for
Oh yeah,
softball. And
they were packing close to two,
yeah.
when we started getting to the playoff run. It was, yeah, it's a ton of fun to see that. The girls absolutely deserve it for all the work they put in. And it's not just the work. I mean, I understand that fan bases can be fickle if you're not winning. I get it, outside of the diehards, but they put in the work and they saw the result. And I think, the 12th man saw it as well. And so I was just as happy for their performance as I was for the support that they really saw throughout the season. I enjoyed the games that I got to go to. The atmospheres were good.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they've, and I love how some of the traditions have kind of trickled across the street from Olson, because
Yeah.
obviously they pretty much directly translate. So it's good to see fans being able to make the transition to go watch softball and be able to, not have to start from scratch, knowing what everybody's doing in the fan base and,
Oh, yeah.
and up in the stands. So again, a huge shout out to all those girls. It's a tough end. And I know it's tradition, but I kind of wish they'd brought their cleats home to put them, at Davis. But
And yeah, that was something I was going to talk about, and it was a sad image, but it is certainly something that you can hold with a lot of pride. Proud of those girls and what they were able to do. Very,
yeah,
very.
it's a tradition, and I get it. But I just wish they could have left him anywhere but Austin.
Yeah, I get that. Well, proud of those girls, proud of the way they fought, and certainly looking forward to seeing what Trisha Ford and crew have in store for next season. And of course, we will jump back into that when we get around to it here in the fall. As far as the other diamond, baseball goes 2-Q in the tournament for the SEC, and everybody's reeling a little bit in terms of fan base individuals. In general, my whole thought process was, get in there, secure yourself a top eight, which ironically, we move up a slot. We move from the number four overall in most polls to number three overall when it came to the tournament. And at that stage, you get to host Grambling, you get to host Texas, you get to host Louisiana Lafayette. They come into town, and baseball did exactly what they needed to do, which was win three games and gain a little momentum before we get into the Supers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of the concerns were justified because you don't just look at the 2-Q, you look at the last 3 weekends plus the 2-Q, and so it's okay to be concerned. It wasn't a run for the
Sure.
hills kind of thing. I thought they had a national seed locked up anyways, especially
Right.
it was what they did at Arkansas in the final series. That was an emphatic statement. So I didn't think they needed to do anything to lock up. I mean, you would have loved to see one,
Oh, yeah.
But again, obviously they were nowhere close to a bubble. Obviously they're
Right.
top half of the eight national seeds. I loved the draw when it came out, and I loved the draw, honestly, up against the Clemson regional. I really liked the path all the way through. I am thrilled that Arkansas is at home.
I'm not just thrilled that Arkansas is at home. I'm thrilled that Arkansas is at home. I'm thrilled that Texas is at home. I'm thrilled that LSU is at home. And really, it's wild because somebody posted a map. It was like Old Army something on Twitter. They posted a map, and it was like a geographic region that spread from Alabama
Yeah.
all the way to California and points in between. We are the only team still in the tournament
In that
across
entire
that
map.
entire region,
Yeah,
which is
that's crazy.
insane. I can't remember a time when we didn't have any California teams there. I can't remember a time when we had no Mississippi teams there. I don't remember. It's just a weird year in terms of the way the tournament played out.
LSU getting knocked out.
Yeah.
There were some fun surprises. I thought the ECU bracket, or when I saw, because I wouldn't watch, I didn't catch the games, but I mean, you got the one and the two seeds playing the elimination, like the first elimination game. That was a nutso bracket. Well, just the way it played out. I mean, I thought that was a. I mean, you love upsets, right? I mean, I got nothing against ECU.
None.
I was a little surprised about Wake. Because I mean, what they were one or number two or number three preseason, and
Arizona.
I know they had some issues. I know there's some injuries, but I mean, they just tuned and cued, and like that was surprising.
Arizona doing cute as a host,
Yep.
you know, like it's been a weird year in terms of a lot of the eliminations, but I'm not complaining about that because a lot of the teams that I was particularly worried about potentially getting warm, you know, getting hot, in particular what we saw with LSU down the stretch, it's good to see a team like that sitting on the couch right now.
Through one game I had my eye on, we were driving down to the airport while I was playing, so I had it just running through the truck speakers, was man, that Army Georgia game.
Yeah.
That was just a they were just it was like a Rocky movie, you know, where it's unrealistic, where they just stand in the middle of the ring and trade punches.
Right.
I mean, that's really what that game was. If anybody got to saw it, I was, and obviously I was rooting for Army, and they damn near
Sure.
pulled it off. And I think coming off of that, it was just too much for them to have for the you know, the next game. They too and cued, but I love the matchup. And I especially love the fact that, you know, UCSB got knocked out. So we're not even facing, you know, a one seed.
Right.
And I saw somebody on Tech Sags, they did like a full blown statistical breakdown. I'm talking about like every single stat you can think of.
Yeah.
And I believe literally in baseball, and I don't have it pulled up, but in baseball, you know, there's 9 million stats, right? Team stats and like pitching stats, you
Yeah.
know, starting pitching, relief pitching. You know, hitters, you know, in scoring or runners in scoring position, like all kinds of these stats. And I think there were maybe 20 or 30 of them. And there was one stat that Oregon was better in all of it. There's
Right.
one. Like, and that includes like win loss and RPI and all this. Obviously, we'll have a higher RPI. But so this, I love this draw. Like, I absolutely love this draw. I really liked ours. And I mean, we all knew we were going to get Texas. But I love the way we turned around and just finished it off, you know, instead of having to play another game kind of thing. Like I thought we showed a lot of poise this past weekend. Evan Aschenbach is just ridiculous, like always.
Well, I was so impressed, in particular with that Texas game, because we saw a bit of a struggle. I mean, Texas pitcher did a great job. Oh my goodness. He
Oh,
went out there and
probably the best start of the year.
Shut us down. And yet we go 11 innings and only use two pitchers because Ryan Prager and Evan Aschenbach absolutely put on a performance. And I could not be more impressed with those boys.
That's a filthy combination.
It is.
But even if, you know, Prager goes deeper and Aschenbach doesn't have to pitch as many innings as he did, but that was an all-timer performance from Aschenbach
Yeah.
in
Well, and
that
then
game.
Chris Cortez comes in the next day and is just electric against Louisiana. And if there's any one thing if I'm starting to worry about is you see the performance from Braden Montgomery and you saw the performance from Gavin Grechovic in game three. They both started picking up the slack quite a bit. And that is a scary thing for any team that's facing us, I think.
Well, I mean, Chris Cortez's sliders, I mean, it might be illegal in some of the, you know, lower 48.
Oh yeah.
That was just, it's one of those when your pitch is so good, they can know it's coming and it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just an unbelievable wipeout slider. So it was great seeing Cortez pitch the way he did. He is absolutely electric. When his stuff is on, he is fun to watch. But heading to Oregon, I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, if we can get past Oregon, well, let me stick on Oregon for a little bit. So let's say all those metrics were actually dead even. Let's say, you know, our performance throughout the season was dead even, and you were going to be like, you know what, even though we were in the SEC, that's fine. You know, they were
That's a
dead
good
even.
team, right?
That's a good team. They play good baseball. They're in the Supers, so they can't be that bad, right?
Right.
If you were deadlocked even, I like us at home all day, every day, because,
Exactly.
you know, a lot of people that don't pay as much attention to baseball, like here's a perfect analogy. In football, if you're playing somebody and you guys are dead even, if you play at home, you get 3 points. That's generally how the spread works. You get 3 points for being at home.
Exactly.
And while you don't get 3 runs on a spread in baseball necessarily, but there is a massive advantage to being at home in college sports, and that is amplified exponentially at Texas A&M.
Well, and I was very impressed in particular. Not sure if you saw, but one of the commentators from ESPN,
Yes,
his
just
thread.
went on an absolute rant about how great this place is, and he has no, and he is, I mean, objective as can be.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really cool first perspective from a guy that, was much more major league kind of centered
Right.
in his career. But Xavier Scruggs, is that right?
Yeah.
What was his name? Yeah, I thought that was that was a really cool kind of painting the picture of not just in Olson, but talking about just around town and how nice people were. And
Yeah.
we get that all the time. But I'll tell you what, I'll take the you are the nicest people we ever met compliment when we're also winning.
Exactly.
I hate hearing that when we lose.
I think this is my favorite quote from that thread. He said, "Number two, baseball is meant to be consumed the way it is at Olson Field at Bluebell Park. I've played baseball professionally in the U.S., Colombia, Dominican, Mexico, and Asia as well. I didn't think I could see something that would top Latin or Asian fandom, but this is right up there."
That's pretty high praise,
That's very.
especially if you've ever seen those crowds, even just on TV, and the intensity, obviously, of those two kind of fan bases regionally. That is incredibly high praise.
It is.
Their pro games are a lot more exciting than ours are, quite frankly, because their fans are a lot better.
Well, let's talk about the fact that you have a literal band in the stands at a lot of Japanese games, and not to mention the fan bases in Korea, not to mention all of Latin America. I mean, lots of soccer style chanting and just a lot of energy in the building, which you don't really get at the major league level. Let's go, Astros, clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, I mean, you rarely see empty seats. So it's a spectacle. So that was really high praise. I loved seeing that, kind of his little thread of just talking about it. And I'm sure there were plenty of sips that hopped on and said, well, yeah, but whatever. I don't
Well,
and LSU too, but again, both of those fan bases can't complain from their couch as far as I'm concerned.
and the definition of Aggie baseball in our stadium and the quality of it has always been quality over quantity. Although that's not about to be the case for much longer with this expansion, I'm sure. I think it'll be quality and quantity if things work out the way they're supposed to.
Well, I mean, I'd love to see the ratio stay the same. If we're adding a bunch of seats and adding a bunch of fans, I hope they're just as rowdy and it gets to be even more ridiculous.
Well, and I think it definitely will be because you saw the reactions out in Aggie Alley. You saw the reactions in those outer stands. People are going to get excited about the games and however they can make an impact. So that's always been the beauty of baseball in this town.
Well, and look, a perfect example, and this is really very directly related to us, because we've seen Mississippi State and Ole Miss, build these cathedrals in Arkansas as well, right?
Oh, great stadiums.
But then you see if they're not playing well, it doesn't really matter. The excitement that you can bring from a fan base standpoint, I just completely lost my train of thought.
It's all
That's
right.
Completely lost my train of thought. Well, the thing is, you got people out in Aggie Alley that can hardly see the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, oh, okay, yeah, derp. All right.
And
Look
we're
at
back.
what Schloss built at TCU. TCU is
Right.
not a large school, doesn't have a large alumni base, right? But the program he was able to build there just drove interest. I mean, they got a big horn out behind the outfield stands, the train horn, and all that other stuff. Like, success will breed that kind of following that. While there are expectations, the program meets those expectations. And that's where we saw him do it at TCU. There's no reason to think he's not going to do it here. He's already doing it here. And for the casual baseball fan, especially the casual college fan, you have to realize you're not going to make a regional 30 years in a row, right?
Nobody does.
It's tough. You'll have a season where you don't make it. It happens. But the idea is to get into regionals on a regular basis, get into supers on as good a ratio as you can relative to the regionals you get in, and get to the World Series, three times a decade, or you go on a run where you get there and you do like the, what was it, Vandy and South Carolina both went back to back or, within the last decade and a half, something like that, or won two out of three, and that kind of success is. It just, I mean, that's the top of the hill, straight up. And so there's every reason to believe that no matter how we change Olsen, as long as it's in an increased capacity, mindset, there's no reason to believe that there won't be demand for tickets. There's no reason to believe that the weekend series won't be even more completely insane than they already are.
Well, I mean, the wait list for Aggie baseball season tickets is ridiculous, has been for years. It's one of the toughest tickets to get on campus in terms of like an actual season ticket, maybe outside of football, but even then.
Well, and they can add 5,000 seats and there'll still be a wait list.
Exactly. Like that's not going away with the expansion. There's still a ton of people that want to be out at the games. And all you're doing is increasing the profile of the stadium, but you're going to build up better facilities. You're going to build up everything else about this ballpark and reinforce that Texas A&M is not only the destination in Texas, but the destination in the nation to come play baseball at the college level.
Well, as long as you're one of the premier places to play in the ACC, you will always be one of the premier places in the nation. And
Amen.
another one of the other tweets within that thread or the post that he said when he, I think it was the last one, he was talking to Schloss. He was
Yeah.
like, "Man, this is great and this is amazing." And Schloss was like, "Yeah, keep in mind we're ripping all of this up." Like he's like, "We're way behind." And so I think that's a testament to what. I mean, the plans that I'm sure Schloss has seen that haven't been released, the kind of things that, the renderings they're looking at and what we're capable of putting up over there. And so I'm excited and he's earned it.
I would say so. You've gone out here and done your job, no question.
But heading
Now,
back to the Super, I love getting, I love obviously being at home. And, one of the X factors is going to be the fact that, spring is gone in Texas.
oh,
Gone, gone,
yes.
gone. Apparently, it was in like the mid to high 50s up there.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, last week. So we're going to be, in the 90s with suffocating humidity. It's going to be tough on those boys to win a three game series when you combine the weather. And I get that they're athletes and I get that they're young, but it's the same athletes, as far as they're all young and they're all in great shape, right? They're in the best shape of their lives because they're currently playing college baseball, unless they go into the pros. But best shape of their life so far, right? But that weather will take you down a peg or two.
It is currently forecasted to be 93 degrees, not counting humidity, on Saturday, and the game is kicking off at 1 p.m.
Yeah, well, and don't get me wrong. It's a long season. We're on the tail end of it. Our boys are dinged up and it's tough too. But our boys practice in this every day. They deal with this every day. They understand this. So there's a, and not to say that Oregon won't be ready. I mean, Nike will have every kind of, rehydration tool at their, they'll have every tool, at
Of
their
course.
feet. But it's just still a thing, man. Like
It's a
it's
thing.
just still a thing. And I'll be interested if I can make it out around town a little bit, although we'll get to why I probably won't, at least on Saturday. But I like to go out, maybe go to the chicken, have a beer, and talk to the fans that like are truly coming from Oregon and ask them, they're like, "So I gotta know, like, how'd you like the weather?" I mean, I might get a beer thrown in my face, but like genuine curiosity, because that is a just a insane stark difference in weather.
It is. And so, and that will certainly play a factor, no question. I mean, you can do all the prep you want. I mean, how many teams have we seen that have tried to pipe in crowd noise before a game at Kyle Field? Like, it doesn't matter. You won't really know what it's like till you're actually here.
Yeah,
So,
and we have zero history with Oregon, so
none.
these fans are coming here. The ones that are coming from Oregon or even from out of state, so they never really do a lot in Texas to begin with. Any of them that are coming in, it'll I mean, as always, I'm sure we'll treat them great, but hopefully they hydrate too. Hopefully the fans do, because that is going to be an absolute scorcher sitting in those stands.
Yes, it will. And I'm currently planning on being out there this weekend. I'm still bouncing back and forth between shelling out all that money for a seat or if I'm just going to go hang out in the alley. But either way, I will be out there in force. And I'm looking forward to being out there because I missed out last weekend. We were busy. And I'll get into that in a minute. But things have been good on that front. I'm just excited with what we've been seeing with baseball. And frankly, I think we're about to have ourselves a nice little weekend in terms of baseball. On the other side of the coin, though, Saturday night, something pretty wild happening at Kyle Field.
Yeah, so hence why I won't be traveling around town at least on Saturday. I decided not to get tickets. I was thinking about it, but think I value my personal safety too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Mexico Brazil match, which I think is great. I think it's great for the school. I think it's great for the exposure. The fact that they were smart enough to be able to work with the NCAA and get the afternoon slot, because you're looking at it with everything out east and our opponent being in the west, there was no reason to give us an afternoon slot.
None.
And so I was glad to see that game, their first pitch time come out. That'll give people enough time to kind of clear out too. As the fans come in from Mexico, Brazil. Last I saw, this is a few days back. Last I saw, they had 65,000 and change sold. So I think that's a it's a good crowd, and I'm sure there'll be more sold, and I'm sure there'll be more people than that there, because all the secondary market stuff that'll drop pretty quick as the first whistle approaches. But yeah, I think it's a very cool event. This summer we've got Kyle Field, and it just sits dormant all year, outside of football season. And so, you compile this along with the George Strait concert, and these are all things that we need to be doing on a regular basis.
I don't disagree. I mean, you look at College Station as a city where it's located, and we've always been a bit of a in a bit of a Bermuda Triangle, literally, in terms of like getting any kind of big events, because people will opt to go to Houston, San Antonio, Austin, DFW for these type of events. And you've got facilities in this town that could absolutely host big events. It's just being able to pull the draw, which, I mean, we're seeing it with George Strait for sure that that's going to be a case. Obviously, with the soccer game,
Yeah,
I
I don't
think.
think Mexico Brazil will move the meter much as far as like artists coming, but George Strait, if he can come here and he just says enough, on social media or in an interview or anything, if George can come here and sell out Kyle, then all of a sudden you're no longer in the Bermuda Triangle, you're a destination between. And so, hey, we can do Houston, College Station, and Austin this weekend kind of thing.
Yeah,
You
and
realize that it's all a pretty quick shot from any of the major metropolis areas.
And that would encourage other artists, maybe like the Stapletons of the world, the whoevers of the world, to maybe look at that as a potential option as well. And if we could find a way, this is just a personal preference, but if you can find a way to incorporate some of these Texas artists onto these bills, you're not going to make me cry too much. Yeah, you got Park McCollum on there, but that dude's well beyond the scope of just Texas at this point.
Well, to me, it's not just country.
Right.
Like if this can draw, and George draw, they look, there are plenty of other styles that draw just as well as George,
No
quite
question.
frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you love to go see the Foo Fighters and Kyle?
Oh, I would love that. I would love Foo Fighters at Kyle. And the fact is, I'm gonna throw that name out there. It's a big money maker, and it would be. What if Taylor Swift played Kyle?
She'd pack it.
She'd pack it out.
I don't think you'd even need people driving in from out of town.
No, you could do it strictly with people in College Station and Bryan, I guarantee.
Yeah, you could literally shut down the roads and we could pack Kyle. Yeah, so it's something fun, but it also is showing people that we can do it. And I think that's more important, is that we can do it, we can pull it off well. And so as long as we do pull it off well, I really feel like this could be a kind of a gateway to a lot more of this stuff. And I get that it's hotter than shit in the summer. I get that, man. And this isn't like being able to play down in the Toyota Center or even NRG where they've got a roof. But I mean, you can do it anytime in the spring.
Well, and that was exactly what my thought was, like, shoot for the spring, because I mean, yeah, you've got baseball going on in town and softball, but outside of those, that's not necessarily super high as far as bringing in people. I mean, over the course of a baseball weekend, let's say after the expansion, you're probably looking at 25, 30,000 total attendance over the weekend. And even then, that moves the needle a little bit.
Well, but you do it the same way. Make sure the game's early. Almost never are baseball and softball in town when ever avoidable. And
Right.
I get that, when it's in non-conference, kind of that March time frame, sometimes they are, but softball goes to a ton of invitationals. Baseball does one a year. So, these are possibilities that I think, you can build this revenue. And because right now there's a world of revenue, right? That's the world we live in. So it's important to be able to pitch these concerts as opportunities to raise money for the revenue that's now the new kind of operating expense model that we're moving into from an athletic department
Right.
kind of standpoint. So I love it. I mean, I won't be going to Mexico, Brazil,
Yeah, that's don't get me wrong. I me being a soccer fan, you being a soccer fan, it would be really, really, really cool to be there. But my goodness, I'm not sure I could handle the fan interaction.
Yeah, like if I could get in a suite or something, I'd do it. But like getting GA to that, I'm probably out. And then yeah, George Strait, I'm not gonna go to. It's we got car payment.
I mean, fair enough.
Or more.
Or more.
But yeah, so but I love the events. And obviously this weekend it's gonna be busy, but this is gonna be a really great weekend because you know, Mexico Brazil is not gonna be a sellout, but this is gonna be as packed as it gets for baseball. Any weekend ever, this is going to be it, right? Because whatever Oregon doesn't sell, I'm sure Aggies will buy up.
Well, the funny thing is, it's really funny that you mentioned that because I just pulled up a thread on TxAgs where they were talking about that. Apparently, Oregon not really doing a good job selling out their tickets. Meanwhile, they're turning around and selling them for upwards of 10 times the ticket price on SeatGeek.
Free market, man.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking, it would be their allotted sections, which would be 201 and 202. Yeah, those tickets are not cheap for that section right now. And I'm like, well, there you go. What are you gonna do? Hey,
Hey, man. Capitalism.
more for us. More
Yeah.
Aggies, more Aggies.
Yeah. Well, and that's a long haul, honestly. And that's a long haul for
It is.
you know, I'm sure the Oregon parents will be there, but they're over there in what 208, 209 on the other side, whatever it is. Or not a
202, 201, 202 is where they'd be at.
so,
Because
yeah,
they're right next to GA, yeah.
that's right. Yeah.
So
And so I mean,
we'll
outside of the
see.
parents, how many Oregon-based baseball fans are going to make this trek. It's a long trek, man.
It is a long trek. And so you gotta think.
The diehards will go.
Oh, no doubt. And I don't know what diehard baseball looks like at Oregon, but
Yeah, how many Oregon baseball diehards are there?
yeah, regardless, you'll have the diehards there, you'll have the parents there, but in reality, outside of another SEC team, an ACC team, or a Big 12 team, I wasn't really anticipating massive participation in our regional, outside of maybe a team making the Supers the first time, like you saw with Evansville. Evansville's going to show up to Tennessee because that's a very special moment for that program.
Oh,
As a
100%.
fourth seed making the Super Regionals, like it's only happened like a handful of times ever. So, I mean, that's cool for them. I'm excited that they're getting that chance. But for our regional and our purposes, fan interaction from Oregon is about the least of my worries.
Well, my biggest thing, I'm just curious how many they're going to sell back, if
Right.
anything. But so you'll have, you know, this, but this will be, a, but just number of fans in general, you know, Supers is going to be as many as you're going to have.
Yeah.
And then you've got an event that's not George Strait, so you always get like a trial weekend, you know, if you wanted to do this in the future. You'll have more baseball fans than normal, but you'll have less going into Kyle Field. You know,
Right.
and you're also not going to have the influx of tailgaters that you would have in football, the tailgaters that don't go to the game. They come in
Right.
town to tailgate. You know, there's plenty of those.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it'll be a great dry run to an extent, just because with the tickets sold to Mexico, Brazil being a little bit lower. I mean, you're talking about 30,000 difference. That's a massive chunk.
It is, no question about it.
And it's not like you're going to have 30,000 people come in town for baseball just to tailgate. Like, that's not going to happen.
No, never will.
Not at 95 degrees or not.
No, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to get me out there, and I live here.
Yeah. But just going back real quick, I love the matchup. Looks like max we could have is three SEC teams in Omaha. So that's, wait.
Nah, it'll be more than that.
No, I'm sorry. Well, no. One, see, one. Two, three, four,
Five.
five. Pardon me.
Yep. There's no SEC on SEC matchups in the Supers this time around. So you have the
Right.
potential to get all of them in. And but we've got three of them on our side of the bracket with us because you're going to have Kentucky, potentially Georgia, and Florida all on the same side of the bracket if
Yeah,
they make
the
the regional.
potential is with four of us on the side of the bracket. I mean, that could be one side that's literally just all SEC.
It could be if Florida finds a way to get around Clemson. You know what? Honestly, what I think will be a fantastic series, Georgia and NC State. I know a lot of people aren't talking about it, but I think that could be a really good series. Kentucky, Oregon State potentially could be a good one too. So,
That was the one I was kind of looking at was Kentucky, Oregon State.
yeah.
I mean, I would laugh my butt off if Evansville could get past Tennessee.
Oh, me
But
too.
I'd say I can't imagine that happening, but I also can't imagine Evansville being where they are right now. So,
Right.
you know, maybe the Cinderella story continues. Crossing my fingers, quite frankly.
But
But
my
I think I think UVA will take care of Kansas State.
Yeah.
I think North Carolina will stomp West Virginia.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking West Virginia had much of a shot, but you know, when you get hot, and we'll see what plays out.
You only got to win 2 out of 3.
Exactly. And so take care of business where you can. Be very curious to see how this plays out.
What are we always rooting for, though? Chaos.
Oh, chaos is the best. Just no Oregon, please.
Just yeah, just not in mine.
Yeah, no, chaos is great so long as we're not involved. So I did have three questions that got posed to me on Twitter. So I'm going to go ahead and push those out. If you want to, I will continue to do this if you're listening, by the way. Before we start, I'm going to start firing out. Hey, if you got questions for us, feel free to throw them in here. Buddy John Patterson asked, what's the best way to cook duck? I'll hang up and listen. I'm going to kind of leave that to you. So there's our cooking segment. What's the best way to cook duck?
Well, I love grilled duck poppers.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite tailgate items, honestly, like bacon wrapped with jalapeno, a little bit of cheese in there. So I love grilled duck, but the best duck I've ever had has been roasted. I mean, it just lends well to the meat. I do love duck. It's just a little fatty, but yeah, but I rarely have duck, to be honest.
Sure.
But generally, when I have it, it's in a kind of a higher end restaurant, and which means it's pretty much always roasted.
Yeah,
I guess an alternate answer would be turducken.
turducken. What a
Yeah, my favorite way to eat duck is honestly these little duck jalapeno poppers, like tailgate style.
yeah. I do enjoy Peking duck when I went over to China 10 years ago. God, I can't believe it. Actually, 11 years ago. It's been a long time. But yeah, that's about the one time I've really focused in on
A true
duck.
Peking duck.
Yeah, it's pretty good though. Not gonna lie. So yes, would love to cook up some duck this weekend. That'd be great.
That's and well, in fact, there's a couple of tailgates that every time I go, they have them. Like, so I know Aggies do them. So I would be willing to bet they'll be on somebody's menu this weekend. And so, yeah, if you're getting ready for the baseball game, jalapeno duck poppers are elite poppers.
So keep that one in mind. So appreciate that one, John. Our Jivin Jim Schlossnagel asked,
Oh boy.
which jive coach do you think makes the biggest mess at the VIP lounge? Which of the jive coaches makes the biggest mess? Look at his face. Roy, you have to say something. I need to see your face.
Yeah, sorry. I'm pondering because I'm like, they're all a mess. It's like the sausage race, like nobody wins.
Ah, except Beefy. Beefy always wins.
This is true. Yeah, I went to the game where they broke the beefy streak, and I was like, "What are you doing?"
Oh, we were there.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you and I were there, and I
We
was
were
like,
there.
"I'm out. We're gonna lose this game."
I couldn't believe it. Oh no, we ended up winning, thank God, but still.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Man, who's the biggest mess? I would probably guess. Well, Chive Jimbo.
Yo, Jimbo was the biggest mess of them all.
Yes. I don't know. As far as just being complete shit shows, it's probably maybe Buzz.
Buzz is pretty good.
The Buzz account. Yeah, I would probably say that one. It's probably just like let's put them all in the same arena, right? So we'll put them all in like the Diamond Club. The Jive Buzz probably isn't making it past the Spirit of Aggieland. Like at that point, he's already like been asked nicely to leave the Diamond Club.
Fair enough.
That'd be my guess.
Right, there you go. So sorry, Buzz, if you're listening.
Jive Buzz, not actual Buzz.
Our jive buzz. And then finally, our friend Jonna, two questions, one for you, one for me. So one, Roy, how was Vegas? Two, Rob, stories from the road. So you go ahead and go first,
Oh,
Vegas.
it's actually a good segue because we're probably going to get into this anyways.
Exactly.
Vegas was a blast. It's always a blast. We got there on Friday, and just hit the casino. Saturday, yeah, we hit the casino.
As you do.
We did hit the pool. Went to dinner at this place. We always go there. If you're ever in Vegas, it's called Capo's. It's a Chicago mob style speakeasy
Ooh.
with just amazing Italian food. So we go there every single time. Went with some friends and just had a wonderful dinner. Got back from that. We hit the casino. But Sunday I had to relax a little bit. Sunday we bowled, and so kind of took it easy on Sunday. Sunday was teams. It did not go well. The pattern was really tough. There was actually like an on TV professional bowler there bowling with us, and he didn't bowl real well. So that made me feel a little bit better about myself.
Sure.
Because when these guys go to tournaments, they know the oil pattern set out. For nationals, you have to guess. They don't release the oil pattern. So you have to throw and kind of guess.
Mm.
So teams was just awful. At least the server was fast. And then Monday we did singles and doubles. We bowled a little bit better, made a little bit of money. But overall, I had a great time. I enjoy going to Vegas. I'm a little too old to be going to the strip these days.
Uh-huh.
And where we bowl is off the strip a little bit. So you're just kind of able to be self-contained. My wife was able to get a massage and relax in the spa that they have there, and
mm-hmm.
had a really good time. You know, kind of roulette tables chewed me up a little bit, but the poker room was actually really good to me.
That's always good. I thoroughly enjoy running out to Vegas. Last time we went, was the first time that a lot of members of our band got to go to Vegas ever. So we went back and because that was back during the NFR, and we are currently, fun fact, getting an NFR day coming up again. We'll be at Westgate performing out there coming up in December. I think the 13th. It's way, way off, but we'll be going back out there. So I'm pumped.
Oh, I will say before you go real quick, on Saturday, there's a little sports lounge down there. It's over by the sports book, and that's where you pick up like your bracket money.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got, you know, a million TVs.
Right.
And so I sat in the lounge and they had the A&M game on, and I was easily the only Aggie in the sports lounge. But I definitely made a bit of a spectacle of myself. It was a lot of fun.
That's always
kind of one of those where you're so into the game and you're the only one into this game. So like everybody else is looking and trying to figure out what you're yelling about. And so some people end up kind of rooting with you for you kind of thing.
Right.
And so yeah, I had some fun in the sports lounge with that game. It was stressful, but it was fun.
Can
confirm the gin and tonics are still cold in Vegas.
Hey, they are still cold in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Cigars still burn well. The whiskey goes down good. Vegas is Vegas. It's just a little more pricey than good old.
Yeah, when you're at the sports lounge, the drinks are expensive. When you're at the poker table, they're pretty cheap.
Oh, I believe it. Oh, man. So as far as my stories from the road, so this past week, things have been a little interesting for sure. You know, we're trying to sort out a couple of situations. Namely with our drummer situation, but I think we have that pretty well sorted. So, more news on that when we get a little closer to him being officially on. But, Wednesday we fly out for Nashville. So we're going the opposite direction. We run out to Nashville, go perform out there on Thursday at, Basement East with our buddy Tyler Halverson, which was a lot of fun. But Wednesday night was the entertaining night. So Travis, our esteemed steel player, lovely guy, he decided to get a little blitzed on the plane ahead of time. You know, as you do. You know, so the problem was he didn't have any food ahead of time. So when we were walking off the plane, he was pretty well in a state. Well,
rookie move.
So we end up out at the Red Door, which is a phenomenal bar there in Nashville. If you've never been. Pricing's a lot better there, and you know, it's a little away from Broadway, so not as many tourists. But we went out there to Red Door, and as soon as we came walking up, some dude was getting kicked out. So we're like, oh, okay, it's gonna be one of those nights. But we pile in there, get drinks, everything's good. By the end of the night, we putzed over to another bar, came back with a couple of girls that were at that other bar, and we left Travis to his devices and went back to the Airbnb. Well, he eventually ends up getting left at the bar, proceeds to go for a stroll, and at some point woke up on the Vanderbilt campus laying on a park bench with a sore elbow and not sure what was going on. So
he
goes to a corner store, gets his phone charged, calls us, and gets back over to the house, and then we proceed to get up to... We ended up getting out to the venue, played a really good show. A couple of record label people came up to us afterwards and told us how impressed they were because our drummer didn't make it to Vegas or to Nashville. He didn't make the flight. He all the flights out of Dallas got canceled on Thursday because of storms.
Oh, bro, I got a story for that when you're done.
Yeah, so we had to deal with the whole Dallas situation, but there play our slam out with just four of us on stage, and we made it work well enough that a lot of people were impressed, and that's always a good thing. We flew back, had a show in Gatesville Saturday that went over fairly well, came home, and then went out Monday to go to the studio, and we proceeded to finish up the record. So
Nice.
11 total tracks at this stage, including an intro, but 10 songs there. So those will be nice, polished, and ready to go here in the next, well, album release is looking to be probably September. So we will be gearing up for that. Plus, I have another little detail, but go ahead and tell me about your Dallas plane story.
Oh, no, it's not my Dallas.
Uh-oh.
No, so we my buddy the pro up at Grand Station, the bowling pro, they decided to go a day early. They went out Thursday so he could play golf on Friday, and they drove up to Dallas to fly out. Everything gets hosed. They drive to three different airports trying to get out, and they didn't get out until Friday morning, or like they didn't get up to Vegas. They didn't get to Vegas till Friday morning. I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, I'm not going to talk to him all weekend. I cannot imagine how pissed off he is. Turns out he actually did make his tee time though. But yeah, I know it was a mess out of DFW. Like nobody was getting out. And you could
No.
drive to other airports and it didn't matter.
See, we tried to fly him on Wednesday out of Love Field, but because that's where we were going to be coming through. We were going to fly from Austin to Love Field, meet him, and then go, everybody make it to Nashville at the same time. He couldn't make the flight because he was sick. He wasn't feeling well. So we were like, okay, we'll just push off the flight to the next day. And we tried to get him there as early as we could. Obviously, Love Field was so backed up with all the planes from all the issues the day before. We tried to get him up to DFW. Everything gets shut down. We tried everything, and we just couldn't get him in. So yeah, that I envy, I do not envy all the fine folks that were stuck in Dallas on Thursday.
Yeah, sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it, man.
Nope, you can't fight Mother Nature no matter how hard you try, at least yet.
That's
So
correct.
we've got that going on. But yeah, I do have one bit of news. Cool news for everybody. So if you haven't already, won. Go check out our new single. It dropped on Friday. It's called Rope the Moon. It's great. I love that song. It's a fun song, good dancing song to start the summer. So, really excited for that one to be out there. But also, on August 23rd, mark your calendar now, Carson Jeffrey is headlining at Hurricane Harry's. So, we have earned ourselves a College Station Hurricane Harry's headline before it
Nice.
closes. So, that will be. Students will be back. That's the first week of class, but no
Okay.
football game that Saturday. So come party.
Nice. Yeah, it's just gonna be syllabus week anyways.
Exactly. So you got no reason not to come out. You're already going to be on Northgate anyway.
That's fair.
You might as well just come on out and come see us. And we're sorting out all the details, openers, et cetera, but we are headlining that day. So very excited to finally get to headline Hurricane Harry's. Add that one to my. Boom, we've headlined that place, even if it is closing.
Oh, then you'll be one of the last through. That's cool too.
It's all very cool, to add to the legacy of the building. So that's really, really exciting. I'm pumped for that.
Nice. All
How's
right,
the
let's
rest of your
switch
week looking?
gears. We're gonna switch gears right back to sports right quick so I can get some predictions.
All right, cool.
All right. One, what's the Aggie starting rotation for the weekend?
I gotta, you gotta. I'm feeling, I mean, it's gotta be Prager kick it off, right?
I would be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Do you throw Sadeo game two the way
Yeah,
he's been playing?
for me it's Prager, Sadeo. Third game, if necessary, is by committee.
Sure.
I think depending on where you use Cortez, well, really, if for some reason you get to the third game, obviously it's going to depend on who you use and how much you used him. But if you can do another one of those, maybe Ruda starts and then Cortez comes in, if you want to do it like that. I think Weston Moss plays a big part this weekend. I think you could consider starting him game three, maybe with Cortez being the hook.
Yeah, potentially.
But I think you can also pitch Weston Moss multiple days and he's got some fire. I think Eldridge has earned him spot, earned himself a spot to be available. That's certainly for sure. He came in
Yep.
and just did, that was some confidence he was throwing with.
Yeah. So, love to see
And,
that.
but yeah, I think it's Prager's today out TBD. Do we win the super and how many do we win by?
I think we win the Super, and frankly,
Not runs, sorry, record.
I think we go 2-0.
Okay.
I truly, I the way the confidence that we are kind of oozing right now and everything else, I gotta think the boys are feeling really good, especially having all three of these games, knowing they're at home, knowing that you just got to go out there and take care of business. I like us in two games. I think Prager goes out there and takes care of business. And if we can make sure the bats are really on top of it, nobody scares me anywhere in this
Perfect.
tournament.
Who do we play? Clemson or Florida?
Florida's playing pretty hot right now. I'm going to say Clemson wins that series in three games. I think that one's going to be a little more competitive for sure.
Okay. Georgia or NC State?
Georgia. I think NC State gives them a fight, but just the way Georgia matches the ball around, and
So you think
they're
it goes to three games?
I think it goes three games.
Okay.
But I think Georgia wins that series.
And then who do they get between Oregon State and Kentucky?
That's the kicker. This is the tough one for me because Kentucky plays such an interesting type of ball, but Oregon State has the ability to go out there and take care of business. I'm not really worried about Kentucky's environment, really. I you know what? I think Oregon State in three. I
Okay.
think Oregon State in three.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Tennessee and Evansville. I think I know this one.
Tennessee 2-0.
All right, me too.
Evansville will give them a bit of a scare, probably, but I don't.
Like Army did to Georgia,
Yeah, but
maybe.
I do not envision Evansville. I think they've eclipsed their emotional high. I don't think they're going to get past that.
All right, UConn and Florida State.
Florida State 2-0. I UConn, yeah, they had a good matchup there with Oklahoma. They to get out of the regional.
I'd be shocked.
Be shocked. I think Florida State's winning that one 2-0.
All right, Kansas State, Virginia.
Virginia in three. I think Kansas State will give them a good fight. I like what I saw out of them in that Arkansas regional. And they did take care of business. So I got to think that they're feeling pretty confident, but I still see Virginia winning that one.
You said you're gonna do it in three?
Three.
Okay. Then UNC and West Virginia.
North Carolina in two. I just don't really. That was probably the weakest regional of all of them, if we're being honest, with Arizona, Grand Canyon, DBU, and West Virginia. Really not much confidence out of that regional for any of those teams. Frankly, whoever came out of North Carolina, whether it was them or LSU, I had them walking all over whoever that was. So I think North Carolina in two. But maybe West
Okay.
Virginia will surprise me.
Oh, I mean, you never know.
Yeah. And I'm totally fine with being wrong with some of these, of course, but that's just how I foresee it.
All right. So the left side of the bracket, I'm the same with you. In fact, I added the same with the games. I think Tennessee in two, Florida State in two, UNC in two. I think Virginia in three.
Yeah, fair.
I've got UK winning the series.
Sure. And I can totally see that.
They're playing good baseball. I think that one's that's probably one of the biggest coin tosses of them all because
I think so.
those are two good ball clubs. I've got NC State being Uga.
Ooh, I'd be okay with that.
I think NC State will find a way to limit damage around George Condon.
Sure.
And honestly, if you can do that, they're beatable.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we know that. Yep.
Yeah, you just got to pitch well. That's all it really comes down to. The Florida one is tough for me. I mean, they're hot,
They
and
are.
people that get hot this time of year tend to be really good. And I watched them play, shut down Oklahoma State the other day. And they pounded it on pretty good. And Oklahoma State
Not a bad team.
wasn't the worst team in the world, right? Yeah, I mean they were one of the host seeds. So don't know, man. This is a tough one for me because I'll be honest, I haven't watched a whole lot of ACC baseball, so I don't know what Clemson is like.
Clemson's been good most of the season, no question. I mean, they've maintained a really strong non-con record, really outside of maybe South Carolina, but really they've looked good.
You know what? I'm gonna take Florida in three, and we get revenge.
I'm okay with that. And like I said, I'm way okay with us taking advantage, beating Florida,
Yeah,
but
and I wrote them down so we can go back and see how stupid we are.
I'm all right with that, but we have our predictions locked in for the Supers, which is good.
Yeah, the only differences is you got Oregon State, I've got Kentucky. Oh no, we got three differences on our side of the bracket. So
Yeah.
our side's different minus A&M.
Sure. And that's cool. I think it'll be interesting to see how all those play out.
I just want to watch all of the baseball. I love it so much. Love
I'm
this time
about
of
it.
year.
This is
Love
a
it so
great
much.
time. Yeah, this is a
And as
great.
an Astros fan, it's nice to see good baseball.
It is nice to good see good baseball around here, no
Yes, it
question.
is.
Well, how's the rest of your week looking?
Just busy. That's one thing about taking vacation. I took Friday, took off Friday, came back yesterday, and I'm really trying to do good by myself by honoring my time off. So, I was going to take my laptop and work, and I was like, you know what? This is my vacation. Any fires that need to be put out, I've got teammates that can help me out. But I didn't take my laptop. I did message a little bit, with clients and a couple other things that I had to do. But overall, it's just a great vacation. Las Vegas will wear you out, so I'm a little tired, but I feel like I'm kind of always a little tired, so that's whatever.
Preaching to the choir there, brother.
It's Megan's birthday today, so we're gonna go out to dinner tonight, and
What?
just kind of getting back in the groove kind of thing. It's just dropping back in the cycle and go. Just busy, and busy's good. As I told somebody this, I think I might have said it on here. Busy's good, but busy is still busy.
Yeah, you're right.
And so it's great to have business, but I just gotta kind of slog through it sometimes, and that's where I'm at this week. But that's fine with me, because get back this weekend, things will clean up a little bit, and then it'll be time to start looking towards the Scotland.
Yeah, that'll be
Yeah,
fun.
that's a little over a month out for me. So it's yeah, it's kind of one of those weird realizations. I get home and I'm unpacking from Vegas, and I think, oh man, I gotta do this again in Scotland here in a month. But
At
in the
least the weather will be
meantime,
nice.
just be busy and watch a hell of a lot of college baseball, and just get to work.
Yeah. I get to like I said, I'm off this weekend and next weekend. We have a rehearsal. That's about it. This weekend, I think Sunday. It'll be going on probably during game two. So that'll be fun. I'll be rehearsing while the band's doing their thing. I mean, while baseball's going on, but
You sure you're not going to get sick?
Oh, probably
Why don't
not.
you just tell them to move? Why don't you tell them to move rehearsal up?
I can't. We
Move
gotta get.
back.
Oh, we gotta worry about all those logistics of getting those boys there, because they're coming from everywhere. You never know. We'll
Oh.
sort the time. If they were all here, easy.
So
But
you can just zoom
let's zoom a rehearsal. That
it.
sounds like a great idea.
Perfect. See,
God, yeah.
I solve problems.
Yeah, let's try to line up all the instruments with the delays. Yeah, I'm sure that'll work out great.
Perfect.
Oh yeah. But what we do have coming up in a couple of weeks, pretty excited for this, finally coming around. We are opening three straight shows with Corey Kent. First show, these is the weekend of June 20th, that weekend. The Thursday, we're gonna be up there in Amarillo at Starlight Ranch. Great venue out there. And then we're gonna have two back-to-back nights. Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa, Oklahoma. First night is sold out. So it is going to be a party weekend. And the beauty of the Tulsa day is you play the first day and you don't have to worry about a thing because you're just going to go back out there and redo it all again the next day.
Nice.
I love that aspect of these type of shows. So go out there, have a lot of fun with it, and then just go from there. So that's all we can ask for.
Beat the hell out of Oregon.
Beat the hell out of Oregon, gig 'em. Let's
And beat the hell out of Mexico or Brazil, whatever, whoever you're pulling for. It's just a friendly.
beat the hell out of heat.
Yeah. Hydrate.
Hydrate, gig 'em.
There.